Hello, and good morning to you and to all our mothers here this morning. A happy Mother's Day to each of you. Welcome this morning to Zion. Let us begin our worship with the singing of our opening hymn, Alleluia, Hearts to Heaven.
Happy Mother's Day. Greetings in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, May 10th, 2026 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Brian and Pam Featon and Casey Jones. The opening hymn is number 477. Alleluia, Alleluia, Hearts to Heaven. Hymn 477 in the Lutheran Service Book. James and Michelle Harnicky are sponsoring the flowers on the altar today to the glory of God in honor of their first wedding anniversary today. John and Megan Clem are sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in honor of Blaine Clem's 15th baptismal birthday on May 8th.
The Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this stead, and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard.
Who has kept our soul among the living, and has not let our feet slip.
For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried.
You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs.
You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you brought us out to a place of abundance.
I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you.
That which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble.
I will offer to you burnt offerings of fattened animals. With the smoke of the sacrifice of rams, I will make an offering of bulls and goats.
Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for my soul.
I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue.
If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened.
But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer.
Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. Glory be to God on high. Let us pray. O God, the giver of all that is good, by your holy inspiration, grant that we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding, accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the readings. The first reading for this, the sixth Sunday of Easter, is from the book of Acts, the 17th chapter, beginning at the 16th verse. While Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him. And some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities," because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took hold of him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, the Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods in the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we move, we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, and an image formed in the imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the Lord's Prayer, what is the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer?
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
What does this mean?
This means that I should be certain that these petitions are pleasing to our Father in heaven and are heard by him. For he himself has commanded us to pray in this way and has promised to hear us. Amen, amen means yes, yes, it shall be so.
The epistle reading, 1 Peter, the third chapter, beginning at the 13th verse. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels and authorities and powers having been subjected to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot give, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Having heard the words of Christ, we now confess our common Christian faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. I must confess this morning that I could not figure out a way to distill any one of these readings down to something that I can get the kids to grab hold of. So I do not have a children's message this morning. So we're going to continue with the singing of our next hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 596, All Christians Who Have Been Baptized, hymn 596 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
sermon text this morning from today's epistle reading, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Thus far the words of our text. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So in our text today, Peter is writing to Christians who are right now experiencing or who are anticipating the experience of persecution for their faith in Jesus Christ. This is likely the persecution that occurs under the Emperor Nero. And as with all persecutions of Christian people in all times and all places, often the people who are persecuting Christians, they don't know why they don't like Christianity. They just don't. It's an anomaly. It's something that grates against them. They don't know why they don't like it. They just know that they don't like it. Right? There is likely, I think, though, two reasons for the persecution of Christianity and the dislike of Christianity. And the first one of these is the old Adam. Right? Your old Adam, everybody's old Adam, just wants to be its own savior, wants to be its own God, doesn't want to humble itself before any other God. And so the old Adam rails against being told that it is a sinful and that, you know, it needs to repent. So that's one reason. And another reason, as we said last week, is satanic opposition. Satan and the demons, they do not want Christianity to succeed. They do not want Christianity to grow in any way, shape, or form. In fact, they want Christianity torn down. They want people torn down out of spite for God. And so when Christians succeed in gaining converts, when the gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed and the Holy Spirit is working and people trust and believe through the work of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ as their Savior, it agitates them to no end, and they are just spitefully looking to tear down Christianity, to hurt and wound God. And so where's the Christian in all of this? The Christian is the focal point for all the ire and the spite and the hate towards God, and becomes the subject of persecution. Peter encourages the Christians of his day, and likewise ourselves as Christians, to be patient in persecution, and to always be ready to give a reason for the faith that is in you. Always be able to give an answer to those who ask you for a reason for the hope that you have. Peter again encourages his readers that when facing the trials and the antagonisms foisted upon them by the children of the world, not to fear the world, not to fear the worldly, not to feel the fear that the worldly would generate inside of them. In other words, and when you're faced by the world and the antagonisms and the antipathy of the world, don't be scared by it. This is Peter's like, you know, don't be scared by it. Don't let them scare you. Don't be disturbed in your mind and in your conduct. Instead, in the face of their suffering, the readers must, in their hearts, set apart Christ as holy. And in doing so, they will keep out the fear of men. So if you have Christ's holiness dwelling within you, then you will not be as affected by the fear of men. So we must ever remember of Jesus that we are His and He is ours. We must keep ourselves, right? Keep ourselves away from manifest sins and keep ourselves away from those things that would bring shame upon the Christian faith, right? So, you know, I don't, you know, we got enough lists in Scripture, you know, sexual immorality, violence, cursing and swearing, disobedience of our parents, living a immoral life, you know, so this is why we don't, you know, have people, like, you know, we don't want people living together before they're married. We don't want people living, cohabiting. You know, we stay away from things like that. All these different things that go on, okay? So, you know, we must keep ourselves free from that manifest sin and give the world no cause for slandering the Lord Jesus Christ or for slandering Christianity. Holding in faith to Christ, we shall not fear men and what they can do to us, or let their threats, the threats of the world, cause us to bow down to them rather than to bend the knee to Christ. So Peter says, with hearts that are ever keeping Christ holy.
All right.
With hearts that are ever keeping Christ holy, we are to face our opponents, always ready to give a reason for the hope that is in us. Okay? What is the hope? What's the hope? What is your hope? I was a disobedient child. I disobeyed my parents. I have lived in manifest sin. I have done things that if the world knew about it, well, my face would be red, let me say that much. But you know what? My hope is that I have eternal life. I will live forever. Am I a sinner? Yeah, I am a sinner. Do I battle my sins every day? Absolutely. I battle my sins every day. I'm engaged in that fight. But I know, and when I say hope, I'm not saying hope like I hope I get a bicycle for Christmas hope. I have confidence, Christian hope. That is confidence. That is the surety that when I die, I am going to go to heaven. My soul will go to heaven. My body will go into the earth there to await the resurrection of the dead. And when Christ returns in glory, my body will be called forth from the earth. My soul will be put back together with my body. My body shall be glorified, and I shall live forever. That is my hope. That is my confidence. That's what I look forward to. That's what we're looking forward to. The souls of the unrepentant, those who have not squandered their inheritance in ungodly living, when we die will speed their way to the heavenly realms, to the throne room, to reside in, with God in glory until the day of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And we look forward to that day. We do. We look forward to it. We long for the day. And all Christians cannot wait for that day of resurrection. Resurrection, when the body and soul will be reunited together, and our mortal flesh shall be made immortal, and we shall live forever in the new heavens and the new earth. The confidence of our resurrection helped our forefathers in the face of persecution. In the face of persecution, such as the hymn writer proclaims, the lion's gory mane, right? A noble army, men and boys, the matron and the maid, around the Savior's throne rejoice in robes of light arrayed. They climb the steep ascent of heaven through peril, toil, and pain. O God, may grace to us be given to follow in their train. But it's not just persecution and martyrdom that we face. We may face hard trials in this life. We may face poverty. We may face the loss of our health to the extent that we need to rely on others for our daily bread. How do we stand in and withstand in such trials and tribulations? We have our eyes fixed on heaven. We have our eyes fixed on the end of the race. That is where our eyes are fixed. We do not relish the thought of tribulation, but we know that we might go through tribulation to get to resurrection. We may not look and seek out trials and tribulations, but they will find us readily enough. And it is true that we may be concerned about how we're going to die. I'm not afraid of dying. I'm not afraid of being dead. And I'm not afraid of leaving this world. But I'll be honest, some days I'm afraid of how it's going to happen. Not looking forward to it. But I don't fear it. And why don't I fear it? Because Jesus died for me. Jesus died for me. And what's more, Jesus rose for me. What a wonderful thing that is. What is different then about the Christian? What is the reason for the hope that we have within us? Jesus is risen from the grave, and we are the redeemed in Christ and connected to Him and His resurrection. His resurrection becomes our resurrection also. And we already sang it. In your baptism, you are made new. Wow. How wonderful is that? You are made new in your resurrection. And that is fantastic. That is fantastic. Jesus' resurrection is the crowning point of His work and shows that He is truly the Son of God and the Savior of the world. His sacrifice of dying in our place is sufficient to cancel out the sins of the world and to satisfy the righteousness of God. Christ's resurrection is the heart of the good news and is the means for giving birth to a living hope. No person, not one, no person has spiritual life apart from the resurrected Christ. He is the resurrection and the life. And because He lives, we shall live also. Jesus is the resurrected, living, and active one. And He alone is our hope and our salvation. Some might say Jesus didn't die on the cross, and that He survived the crucifixion and escaped the tomb. Another might say He died on the cross, but His disciples stole the body. We say such theories of that are foolishness. The people of Jesus' day knew death when they encountered it. Beaten, scourged, nailed to the cross, and run through with a spear. When Jesus came down off that cross, He was dead. 3 days later, He was alive. He was seen alive by His disciples, and later by hundreds of the brethren at once. If the Jewish leaders were going to stop the followers of Jesus, they could have stopped them in their tracks by producing Jesus' body. And that is the very one thing that they could not produce. Why could they not produce the body of Christ? Because He is risen from the grave. He is alive. Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, the Christ of God, rose from the dead just as He said He would rise from the dead. And we are born again into a new and living hope and an eternal inheritance. An inheritance that is kept in heaven for us with all its glory, which is yours through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And soon enough, and in short order, you will take full possession of it. Therefore, blessed be the Lord our God, and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed on the last day. And all of that because our Redeemer lives. He lives. He lives who once was dead. He lives, my ever-living head. He lives, and I shall conquer death. He lives, my mansion to prepare. He lives to take me there. Oh, the sweet joy this sentence gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. He is risen. Amen. Let us now all rise for the singing of the offertory.
And sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org. where you will find links to the internet stream and to Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from ages 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. We rise for prayer. Let us pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord,
You give us life in Christ. Grant, we pray, that having been strengthened by your gifts, we may gladly tell others of the hope that we have in you. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, let your Spirit be at work through Matthew, our synodical president, through Mark, our district president, and through Matt, our circuit visitor, and through all of our circuit pastors, that as they proclaim your word, your Spirit may teach us all things and bring to remembrance all that your Son has said to us. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, your Son in his incarnation took on our human flesh, and he was born of the Virgin Mary. He submitted to his mother, honoring and obeying her, and so fulfilling the commandment that where we have not. On this Mother's Day, graciously accept our thanksgiving for our mothers, whom you have given to us. Teach us to honor them rightly, loving, obeying, and giving thanks for them, as is fitting in your sight. Strengthen all women with child and give them safe delivery. Comfort all women who long to have children but cannot, that they may find their consolation in you and in your unfailing love. Lord, in your mercy. O listening Lord, we always wait upon the prayers of your people and attend to their cries. We pray today especially for those whose silent prayers are known to you but not to us. We ask you to hear the prayers of Linda Ray and Nancy Olander and Dennis Ramlow as they have returned home from the hospital. Receive our thanksgiving for Carol Knauer's successful surgery and for her continued recuperation and recovery. Receive also the thanksgiving of Lori Bishop that her son-in-law Owen is fine and healthy after a recent motorcycle wreck. Thank you, Lord, for seeing to his safety. Please inspire us to pray in all seasons of life and through all trials, giving us faith in your promise to answer us. Lord, in your mercy. We entrust all these petitions to your care, loving Father, confident in your great mercy for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is worshipped together with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 773, Hear Us, Father, When We Pray, hymn 773 in the Lutheran Service Book.
be seated. A couple of our announcements here this morning. If you take a look at the back of your Zion's Light and the activities at school, there's a lot going on. I know that it says Mrs. Seeloff's graduation. Very nice. Mrs. Sarah Seeloff, the preschool and pre-K teacher at Zion Lutheran School, will be retiring this year, and we are thankful for her faithful service to our school. On the Monday of May 18th, thank you, Dr. Perry, will be her retirement. And after preschool and pre-K graduation, there will be a little open house for her. So I know it says on the back of that bulletin, RSVP by May 8th, but if you still want to go, I'm sure you can give a call Monday and the secretary will be happy to write your name down. Please check the bulletin for any other announcements we have going on. Marcia, I see you standing there so patiently. Do you have something you need to say? No, once you come to the...
Happy Mother's Day to all moms, you know.
In the microphone.
Moms.
There we go.
Moms, stepmoms, I don't know, pet moms, aunts, sisters, whatever. We stewardship partnership with Evangelism Committee. So this morning there's a table out in the lobby, and we've got a new booklet for women. Don't have to be a mom. And it's not typically for women, but it's geared towards that. It tells about seven pretty courageous women in the Bible. So if you're not familiar with it, a lot of those stories, it's very interesting. And then we have some, I guess I can call them little swag bags. Don't expect a lot, but, you know, a little bag of some stuff that you can pick up. And all the ladies are welcome to do that. So thank you, and happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. And also here at Zion is graduation Sunday. And we have three graduates of different levels, but none of which are actually in this service this morning. So they might be here second service. But we have one high school graduate, Mira Simmer. She's graduating high school this year, and her plans have not yet been decided. So she's not sure where she's going to head off to or what she's going to be doing. Our college graduates are Reagan McConnell, who is graduating from South Dakota State University on May 9th with a bachelor's degree in animal science production. Her minors are in agricultural business, agricultural marketing, and military science. On May 8th, she will be commissioned as a second lieutenant in the South Dakota Army National Guard as a field artillery officer. She will go to Fort Sill, Oklahoma in January for 5 months training. And she has accepted a full-time position and is currently working with Central Star as a DHI specialist. Okay, so here's what I understand of what she's doing. She's working with a dairy farm, and they go in at 4:30 in the morning, and they take samples of the milk. And then they do this many cows, and they sample this many cows, and then they sample this many cows, and then they test the milk. So whatever DHI stands for, it's that. Okay, getting up early and doing that. And we'll be working in and around the Sioux Falls and South Dakota area. And also, our own Paul Schwantz has graduated from Illinois State University. He graduated in December. He graduated with a Bachelor of Science degree in Business Analytics. And he is currently looking for a job. Now, you know, as far as I'm concerned, Paul has been seeking, ever since I've known him since grade school, seeking for a way to take over the world. So if there's any openings for Dr. Evil's understudy or whatever, you know, Paul someday, he will be running the world. But in the meantime, he's looking for a job. So may the Lord bless all of you. May he bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.